But Jesus goes on to say even more extraordinary things. That, in a way, is a sensible piece of advice. Don't hog the best place, because actually it would be a bit embarrassing to be asked to move out of it. But when he then goes on to say, when you have a dinner, don't invite the sort of people who will invite you back. Of course, all this Roman dining depends entirely on the principle that I invite you, you invite me, we're all able to eat together with somebody most nights of the week, except when the system's broken down. No, Jesus says, don't invite people who might invite you back. Go out and find the lame and the blind and the people who are completely marginal to society that the polite world does not notice, and bring them to your dinner. It's a fantastically subversive notion. It's a wonderful example of the topsy-turvy values of the kingdom of God, this strange upside-down place that others are about to be baptized into, when the first are the last and the last are the first, and where little children matter more than grown-ups, and where things are just not the way that they are in our ordinary social world. These Roman rules of dining come into play, very interestingly and importantly, at another moment in the gospel. And that's at the Last Supper, the occasion, the model for this Eucharist that we celebrate, the occasion when Jesus gives a dinner party for his friends. And he's the host. And I have a very strong suspicion that they dined that night by Roman rules. There are certain clues to that in the text. Do you remember the disciple that Jesus loved who was leaning upon his breast? That's the kind of thing that happens naturally when you are reclining to eat, as the Romans did. Forget Leonardo da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper and all those things. That's based on the way in which Renaissance Italian lords would eat at a long table with the most important person in the middle. It wasn't like that. They reclined at dinner from the most important to the least important. Jesus has evidently invited the disciple to be next to him, and he rests upon, as you naturally would, Jesus' breast. If your arm gets a bit tired, I could never get the hang of how you dine stretched out, resting your head on your arm. It was absolutely baffling. How did they sustain that posture for a long dinner, and kind of eating with your fingers and wanting to, well, I suppose that's why you had slaves to clean your hands for you, because you were busy leaning upon your arm. Anyway, the Last Supper shows us a sense of the seating plan of the beloved disciple being next to Jesus, and underlines even more remarkably what Jesus does in John's Gospel at the end of the Last Supper, when he gets up and he girds himself with a towel and he starts to do the slave's work of washing the disciples' feet. He got up from there, the host's place at the head of the table, and completed a social descent from the host in the place of honour to doing the work of one of the slaves. And then he said, "You must love one another as I have loved you." Charles is about to be baptized into the topsy-turvy family of God, the place where the values are upside down, and they're upside down because this is the kingdom of love and the kingdom of service. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And there he is, right on.